الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا ما بعد. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace and send His salutations and His blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follow after quite a lengthy break, without going over the tafsir book and feeling like there's something totally missing in our lives, at least for me, alhamdulillah, today inshallah we will resume the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah, particularly where we left off when we last met each other at Surah Al-An'am, Ayah 34, which reads, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَإِن كَانَ كَبُرَ عَلَيْكَ إِعْرَاضُهُمْ فَإِنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ أَن تَبْتَغِيَ نَفَقًا فِي الْأَرْضِ أَوْ سُلَّمًا فِي السَّمَاءِ فَتَأْتِيَهُمْ بِآيَةٍ وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَمَعَهُمْ عَلَى الْهُدَى فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. The English equivalent, more or less, or the interpretation of the meaning is, And if their evasion is difficult for you, evasion is like their rejection or turning away. If it is difficult for you, then if you are able to seek a tunnel into the earth or a stairway into the sky to bring them a sign, then do so. But if Allah had willed, He would have united them upon guidance. So never be of the ignorant. Shaykh Abdul Rahman Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah says in regards to the tafsir of this particular ayah, وَإِنْ كَانَ كَبُرَ عَلَيْكَ إِعْرَاضُهُمْ أَيْ شَقَّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ حِرْصِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ. عَلَيْكُمْ سَلَام. Meaning, if it has become difficult for you, وَعَلَيْكُمْ سَلَام, because of your keenness over them. Huh? So وَعَلَيْكُمْ سَلَام. One vocabulary word we can add to our vocabulary is the word hirs. Hirs means keenness, and the person who's keen is called haris. Now, where do we see this in the Quran? Can anyone recall an ayah in the Quran where the word haris is used? Alayhi salatu wasalam. Excellent. Right? Allah Azza wa Jalla described the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, harisun alaykum bil mu'minina raufun rahim, laqad ja'akum rasulun min anfusikum azizun alayhi ma anittum harisun alaykum bil mu'minina raufun rahim. So haris is keen. Now, the term is generally has a positive connotation, but in modern days it is used with a negative connotation. So when someone says that you're haris, it depends on the context. It could be that they mean you're keen in learning or getting something, or it could be that you are greedy. It is very often used today as someone who is greedy, doesn't want to let anything go. يعني, anything that he can get his hands on, he does so. That's also haris, right? But not in that positive connotation. Al-muhim, min hirsika alayhim, because of your keenness over them. وَمَحَبَّتِكَ لِإِيمَانِهِمْ, and because you love it, you would love them to be believers, or you would love belief to be granted to them. فَبْذِلْ وُسْعَكَ فِي ذَلِكَ فَلَيْسَ فِي مَقْدُورِكَ أَنْ تَهْدِيَ مَنْ لَمْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ هِدَيَتُهُ. Do whatever you want. Exert yourself in that. However, Allah is telling the Prophet ﷺ that you cannot guide whomsoever Allah does not wish to guide. This reminds us of which ayah? إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتُ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. It's the same concept, different wordings. That's why the Quran is مَثَانِي. مَثَانِي is something that gets repeated, and then it, you know, the ideas are repeated, sometimes the same wording. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Huh? These are repeated in the exact same verbatim. And sometimes the concept is repeated in different ways so that no one will have an excuse about misunderstanding.
Then Allah said, فَإِنْ إِسْتَطَعْتَ أَنْ تَبْتَغِيَ نَفَقًا فِي الْأَرْضِ أَوْ سُلَّمًا فِي السَّمَاءِ فَتَأْتِيَهُمْ بِآيَةٍ أي فَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَفِيدُهُمْ شَيْئًا وَهَذَا قَطْعٌ لِطَعْمِهِ فِي هِدَايَتِهِ أَشْبَاهِ هَؤُلَاءِ الْمُعَانِدِينَ So this is a means of Allah Azza wa Jal telling the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to give up the hope of having such people being guided. Certain stubborn people, you didn't have to realize it's a dead end. Now, this does not mean that you no longer give them da'wah, but your expectation will be at a level so that you don't feel troubled afterwards. Yani when someone, you see there's potential for them to be guided, and when someone, yani completely a hopeless case, when the person who you saw potential doesn't get guided, you feel some guilt, you feel some, where did I go wrong? How come? What distracted him? What prevented him? Versus someone that is a hopeless case, you will not feel as bad. You will still try, but you're like, I never expected this person to be a Muslim anyways. I mean, this is totally immersed in atheism. For example, some people have sold to themselves, the concept of atheism to such an extent that it's extremely difficult to convince them otherwise. And this is a phenomena among the Shabab today, in Saudi and outside, in general. For whatever reason, all the recent messages I receive on this crazy application called WhatsApp, from the UK, from Holland, from I don't know what other countries, all of them are people that doubt the basics of our deen. Brother, the Quran said that the mountains are firm and they're fixed, as Allah said, Rawasi. But some scientists discovered that the mountains actually move, I don't know how many centimeters, every I don't know how many hundred years. So then how is it that the Quran has said, Ya Shaykh, like really, do you really want to go there? Are you going to doubt the speech of Allah now because of some scientists who made some study type? Do you see the mountain moving? Did you see the mountain moving? And what is the relation? So they pick out anything which as a believer, you already automatically registered in your mind that you believe in the revelation of Allah. Then you try to figure out what the scientist has to say. I'm not going to make a scientist point of view raise my iman, an issue in my iman where, wait now, let me reconsider my faith in the Quran. But this is exactly what's happening. And no matter how much I answer them, I'm beating a dead horse. I finish one topic, they bring up another topic. I finish another topic, then a third one. And like that. It's continuous doubt in the things which you cannot doubt. There's no room for doubt in them, really. So, you know, the atheists, the people reach a certain point where you say, Akhi, I don't understand why you're still confused. There's no room for confusion. This is black and white telling you this is the speech of Allah. And so many things scientists discovered today that they found out hundreds of years later that were wrong. They thought it was a fact that turned out to be a theory. I mean, come on, man. The same scientists who thought we came from monkeys. Man, the Darwinism is also a scientific theory. Whether at some stage they now denied it or approved it, that proves to you how off we can be. That someone thought his grandfather was a monkey. That's just crazy. You know what I mean? But they believed it. So that tells you scientists are off. These are people who are ungodly for the most part. They're ungodly. They're away from, they want to find any explanation to disprove the existence of Allah. So sure, they will cast all types of doubt that they apparently can contradict the Quran. And nothing contradicts the Quran. If it's a real scientific fact, you find that the Quran already highlighted it, already made it clear. The earth, he said, how come Allah said we spread the earth? But now we know that the earth is round. So the akhi, when you walk on the earth, do you see yourself falling off? Is this not spread? Can something not be spread and circular at the same time if it's huge? It is. What's the big deal? It's a big old earth. So it's spread for you. You walk for kilometers and you go on straight. You don't fall off the earth and you see yourself going around in a circle. So what's the problem with the earth being circular round and you being able to walk on spread out earth? Does that mean that it's big, big, flat, like piece of pita bread? And then it's like weird things, you know, that the kids are laughing at because it's like, what? It's silly. But these are real doubts that the people have developed against the Quran. Maybe it's a byproduct of living among atheists. I don't know. But you have to be careful, look out for your children. Al-Muhim, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَمَعَهُمْ عَلَى الْهُدَىٰ. And that is the highlight of the ayah. وَلَكِنْ حِكِمَتُهُ تَعَالَىٰ اِقْتَضَتْ أَنْ يَبْقَوْنَ عَلَىٰ الضَّلَالِ. If Allah had willed, He would have guided them all, but His wisdom entailed that they remain upon misguidance. Why? Why is that? Why would Allah's wisdom entail that these people remain misguided? They don't become guided. Why? How can we justify that?
Because they deserve misguidance.
Surely. That's like saying if you jump in the water, you'll be wet. Surely.
Because Allah is free. That's Allah's free. Right?
Yeah, but these are not, they're answers, obviously. But assume you're giving da'wah to someone, non-Muslim, and you tell him, Allah is like that. Allah said they will not be guided. It's the decree of Allah. Or because, you know, Allah decided. Tayyib. To us, we know that Allah is all-wise. So whatever He does, it's for a reason. But how can we also explain? There is a logic behind it. Allah doesn't just arbitrarily decide that these people will be misguided and send them to Jahannam eternally without any reasons, without any, you know, justice behind it. So how do we qualify this? Yeah, share. Is that the latest joke or something, man?
Not a serious answer.
That's a serious answer or not?
No, not a serious answer.
Okay, I was about to say, man, because there's plenty of space in Jannah, bro.
Allah has given the freedom to choose the right or wrong path.
Okay.
The one always knows which path is right or wrong.
Okay.
Maybe He knows the decision beforehand.
Surely. Can we give an example? We've explained in the lecture exemplification. Right, articulation, exemplification. If you give an example, you make it easy for someone to understand. So when you're trying to explain to a non-Muslim a religious point of view that it's too far for them, it's too complicated, it's too deep, because it's rooted in faith, which alhamdulillah Allah blessed us with, which they lack. So it's not the same grounds of understanding. I can easily say to them, Wallah, the decree of Allah is here. But that doesn't make sense to him. To me, it's perfect sense. To him, it doesn't make sense. How do I make him relate? I give him a worldly example. What kind of worldly example can you think of?
Class teacher, students.
As if you pulled it out of my mind. Very simple. Teacher with students. Huh? You have 10 students, and you will have to select 3 of them to represent the school in some big competition where the winners will blah blah blah. And you can see from your student as a teacher, you know which one will represent you properly and which one will tarnish the image of the school. Even though he may have some traits outwardly that make him seem to be a good student, you know that he has other traits that down the line will appear or will impact his behavior, or he has a short temper, so you know he will easily get mad, whatever. You can easily, as a teacher, with your human limitations, assess who among your students should be selected and who should not be selected. From the student point of view, he would say, teacher, why didn't you select me? He doesn't have to tell you, well, because of ABC, but he knows why he didn't select you. The other students may not know, but he knows why he didn't select you. So if a human being is able to evaluate other human beings based on their behavior and conduct, he gave him 10 chances to do the homework on time. And every time he submitted the homework late. What is that? An indication that what? If he were to represent us in the competition, most likely he will submit the material late. Because this is his trend. This is his trait. So you disqualify him. It's the same thing. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given these people many chances. Isn't it enough that those people whom Allah is speaking about, isn't it enough that He sent His messenger to them whom they saw in real life? Now we're 1400 years away. How bad can these people be if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was amongst them, in their midst, with the miracles he performed, water gushing out of his hand, thousands of people making wudu, blessing by Allah, the blessing the food, so many people ate from a small amount of food, some bread and some meat, the spitting of the moon, the Isra and Mi'raj, so many things that they saw the Prophet ﷺ do, besides the Qur'an. The Qur'an is a miracle in and of itself. Yet they didn't believe. So what does that mean? Allah tested these people, gave them chances. He knows and He knew that they will not be guided. They will not be guided. So He told the Prophet ﷺ, don't despair over them. If Allah willed, He could have guided all of them. But these people are not deserving. That is the answer. Yes, it's the decree of Allah. And yes, it's based on Allah's wisdom. But the real thing is they don't deserve it. They simply don't deserve it. Had they deserved it, they would have been guided. But they don't deserve it, so they were not guided. So basically, it's their fault, not Allah's fault. In simple terms, it's their fault, ultimately. That's why Allah said afterwards, فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. So don't be among the ignorant. أَلَّذِينَ لَا يَعْرِفُونَ حَقَائِقَ الْأُمُورِ وَلَا يُنزِلُونَهَا عَلَى مَنَازِلِهَا وَلَا يُنزِلُونَهَا عَلَى مَنَازِلِهَا. So don't be among the ignorant, those who don't know the real essence of matters, the wisdom behind things, nor do they apply things in the manner in which they have to be applied. Ayah 36 or not yet? Yeah, 36, yeah? Type. Ayah 36 reads, إِنَّمَا يَسْتَجِيبُ الَّذِينَ يَسْمَعُونَ والموتى يبعثهم الله ثم إليه يرجعون. The English equivalent is, only those who hear will respond. But the dead, Allah will resurrect them, then to Him they will be returned. The Shaykh rahimahullah says, يقول تعالى لنبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما يستجيب لدعوتك ويلبي رسالتك وينقاد لأمرك ونهيك الذين يسمعون بقلوبهم ما ينفعهم وهم أولو الألباب والأسماع. This is this now. Allah tells the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that the only people who will respond to your invitation and will fulfill your message and will follow your commands and avoid your prohibitions are those who hear with their hearts that which benefits them. And they are the people of intellect and the people of hearing. Why is it? How do you hear with your heart? Who can explain that? Do you hear with your heart or with your ears?
But then you have a choice to remove it from the other ear or take it down inside
it. Wallah, you have that choice? Like what? Yani you catch it in the middle, say, ah! Or, oh, that one went inside, mashallah. Huh? So how do you hear with your heart? I thought we hear with our ears. Mudir? Yeah, you do. Right now, if I told you, stop touching your head. No, I'm not telling you don't do it, bro. Just if I told you. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
If you kept touching your head, did you hear me?
Yeah.
No.
I heard you.
And Sheikh, you heard me with what?
My ear.
Okay, but if you ignored me, did you really hear me?
No.
No. Simple as that. Yes, the data was processed by your brain and you understood the speech that someone is telling you something, but if it made no difference in your life, no impact, no change, no adherence, no compliance, then you really didn't hear. In fact, is it worse than not hearing the actual words? For sure. Because when you don't hear, you're excused. Well, I didn't hear you. Sorry, I couldn't hear you. I was busy hearing someone else or something else. But when you hear with your ears and then it doesn't do anything in your heart, that is the worst type of hearing. The hearing which brings no benefit. So that's why Allah Azza wa Jal is speaking. These are the people Allah is speaking about. Those who will obey you are those who hear. But not the type of hearing where they, oh, Allah, Islam sounds nice, but I will say a Christian, man. Thank you very much. You know, you didn't really hear my da'wah of Islam. When you become a Muslim, then you heard my da'wah. Otherwise, you simply heard the speech, but it didn't impact your heart. And that is worse than not hearing at all. And the Shaykh said, وَالْمُرَادُ بِالسَّمَاعِ هُنَا سَمَاعُ الْقَلْبِ وَالْاِسْتِجَابَةِ That's what the Shaykh said. What is intended by hearing here is the hearing of the the heart and istijaba. What is istijaba? The type of when you yujib, right? You reply, you respond, you adhere, you conform. All of these words which you can think of reflect that particular meaning. وَإِلَّا فَمُجَرَّدِ سَمَاعِ الْأُذُنِ يَشْتَرِكُ فِيهِ الْبَرُّ وَالْفَاجِرِ As for the mere hearing of the ear, then this is something that both types of people are involved in. The good and the wicked. The righteous person and the wicked person, all of them can hear with their ears. فَكُلُّ الْمُكَلَّفِينَ قَدْ قَامَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ حُجَّةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بِاسْتِمَاعِ آيَاتِهِ فَلَمْ يَبْقَ لَهُمْ عُذُرْ فِي عَدَمِ الْقُبُولِ All of those who are held accountable, the proof of Allah has been established against them by hearing His ayat. So now they have no excuse in not accepting or rejecting. So what is the condition we learn from this particular tafsir? What do we understand from this tafsir? The Shaykh said, all of those who are held accountable, the proof of Allah has already been established against them by hearing, because they heard the ayat of Allah. Now that they heard the ayat of Allah, they have no excuse in rejecting. What do we learn from this? That it's too early in the morning to ask questions on a Friday morning when you have to sleep. No, that's not what we learn. What we learn is that the condition for someone to be in this stage is that they have to hear the ayat of Allah. If someone did not hear the message of Islam, are they excused or not excused?
Excused.
Someone never heard the message of Islam. They were born in the jungle, lived in the jungle. They're excused. Do we say they're believers? No. Do we say they're kuffar? Yes. If he doesn't say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, to us he's a what? He's a kafir. However, his affair with Allah is something else. He is not like the Christian who heard about Islam and died upon Christianity. We treat in the dunya both as kuffar, because he didn't declare shahada, and we don't take him out of disbelief into belief. However, we say his affair on Yawm al-Qiyamah is with Allah. I don't speak about what happens afterwards. Why? This person never heard the message of Islam. Is that clear? We have to make these points clear. So then, a person who never heard the message of Islam is excused until further notice. The evidence is, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا We were never to punish people until a messenger has been sent. Without knowing the message, you will not be punished. But on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah will test all of these human beings who existed on earth from the time of Adam until Yawm al-Qiyamah, who had a valid reason as to why they didn't hear the message or embrace Islam. So the deaf person, during at his time when there were no material to read, someone with Alzheimer's, someone who was any excused person who never comprehended the message of Islam, Allah will test them on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Then on Yawm al-Qiyamah, either they pass the test and enter Jannah, or they will fail the test and enter Jahannam. And that small test would be a summary of what they would have done in this life had they been given the chance, because Allah is all just. I hope.
Is that just for the people who live in the jungle?
No. It's for all of them. But nowadays, we want to be careful of saying, well, yeah, these people never heard of Islam. Because at this point, the way the world has become with the internet and the television and all types of, media, it's difficult for someone to say, I never heard of Islam. Or the true message of Islam never came to them. if they don't care to investigate whether the Prophet Muhammad was the messenger of Allah or not, and they're too immersed in the worldly life, then now these are a different situation. We don't want to treat them like the people in the jungle who seriously never had anyone talk to them.
Does the same apply for actions as well, actions in Islam? Or does it only apply for Islam in general, knowing the Shahada and the faith? Or like there are a few people who do not know music as haram. So does this ayah also apply to them? Because they never came to know, no one told them that music.
Yeah, of course. Of course. But there are things which you're not excused for not knowing in the deen. Like someone cannot say, well, I've been worshipping this dead man, you know, from a very young age. I mean, come on. If you've ever read anything, how did you become a Muslim if you didn't know what La ilaha illallah means? And there are certain things which are called, in Islam, the scholars say there's no excuse for ignorance. Right? And there are things which, like the music, for example, where a person may be excused for seriously not knowing the ruling in Islam. Now, al-muhim, والموتى يبعثهم الله ثم إليه يرجعون يحتمل أن المعنى مقابل للمعنى المذكور. It could be that this is to be placed as the opposite of what was previously mentioned. It's like the contrast. That's the word I was looking for. The contrast between the previous ayah or the previous part of the ayah and this part. What does that mean? The Shaykh said, أي إنما يستجيب لك أحياء القلوب وأما أموات القلوب الذين لا يشعرون بسعادتهم ولا يحسون بما ينجيهم فإنهم لا يستجيبون لك. This is in reference to the live, the living and the dead heart, the Shaykh said. So those with the live heart, the living heart in other words, those are the ones who will respond to you. And those with the dead hearts, those who don't understand, they don't feel what brings happiness to the heart, and they do not pay attention to what will save them, and you know what will be their salvation. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يَسْتَجِبُونَ لَكَ وَلَا يَنْقَدُونَ وَمَوْعِدُهُمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. Those will not respond to you, they will not obey you, and their appointment is the day of resurrection. يَبْعَثُهُمُ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ يُرْجَعُونَ. Allah will resurrect them, then to Him they will return. ويحتمل أن المراد بالآية على ظاهرها وأن الله تعالى يقرر المعاد وأنه سيبعث الأموات يوم القيامة ثم ينبئهم بما كانوا يعملون. It could be that the ayah has an independent meaning, that Allah Azza wa Jal is simply reaffirming the idea of resurrection, and that there's an appointment, and that Allah will resurrect the dead on يوم القيامة, and then He will inform them of all that which they used to do. ويكون هذا متضمنا للترغيب في الاستجابة لله ورسوله والترهيب من عدم ذلك. And this then is alluding to the idea of encouraging the people to obey Allah and His Messenger, and warning them from turning away from Allah and His Messenger. Meaning, remember, you can get away with it now, but Allah will make the dead resurrect on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and they will return back to Him, and He will inform them what they used to do. So that's a warning. It's like you tell someone, you know, a student that is obnoxious, or you know, who's playing around, said, look, the principal's on vacation, but he will be back next week. So in other words, you can play now because he's away, but when he comes back, you will be meeting him and you will be, you know, kicked out of school, for example. Again, trying to give an example that we can relate to. So that will make that child what? Behave or misbehave? Behave. Because now he's worried about, okay, yeah, I know I can have fun now, but 3 days from now I'm going to be in trouble, I better calm down. Type of mentality. That's the same kind of concept. Ayah 37. وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ آيَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِ قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَادِرٌ عَلَىٰ أَن يُنَزِّلَ آيَةً وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. English. And they say, why has a sign not been sent down to him from his Lord? Say, indeed, Allah is able to send down a sign, but most of them do not know. The Shaykh rahimahullah says in the tafsir of this particular ayah, وَقَالُوا أَيْ الْمُكَذِّبُونَ بِالرَّسُولِ. ta'annutan wa inadan. Who said that? Those who believe in the messenger or those who disbelieve in him? Those who are stubborn. And they said it out of what? Out of pickiness. They want to be picky and selective. لولا نزل عليه آية من ربه يعنون بذلك آيات الاقتراح التي يقترحونها بعقولهم الفاسدة وآرائهم الكاسدة. Beautiful. What type of signs do they want? The signs which they recommend as per their corrupt intellect and their evil opinions. Yani, in other words, they say to the Prophet ﷺ, he brings them ayat which Allah selected to be the ayat that are yani sufficient for a person to believe. Right? Allah will always send with the respective messenger signs على مثل ما يؤمن على مثله البشر. Enough or something that is convincing and satisfactory to make other people believe. He doesn't send them with incomplete miracles or proofs that the people will have an excuse to reject. Allah gives the Prophet and the Messenger sufficient support to be convincing to the people that he is indeed sent by Allah. Those people do not like those signs. They want to make their own recommendation. That's like someone, again, we give an example of a company. Huh? A company hires a new head of department for some department. And this guy, for him to take on this role, he needs to have 7 years experience in this type of thing, and he has to have a master's degree and what have you, right? And this guy brings all of these items which you need to take on this position, being head of department, and he tells the employees whom he'll be in charge of, look guys, this is the job requirements or qualifications, and here's what I have. 1, 2, 3, 4. They want 6, he has 8. One of the employees says, do you play basketball? No. Then I will not accept. Lit. What does basketball have to do with this? I know that it's not part of the requirements for you to be the head of department, but I like basketball. So unless you also play basketball on top of your master's degree, I will not accept you as the head of department. How does that sound to you? What would be the first thing you do to this employee when you take on this role? Fire him. In fact, you will not take on this role until he's fired. I will only sign the contract when this guy is let go. Why? He's retarded. We're here to run a business. Basketball is relevant or irrelevant? It's irrelevant. What do you want from me? So an idiot, excuse my French, who demands that the guy plays basketball for him to believe in him, deserves to be thrown out. And this is exactly what these kuffar did and continue to do. Yani the Prophet ﷺ brought them what is needed, for a messenger to prove the authority and the authenticity of this message, and they will give him other suggestions. If you don't believe me, read Surah Al-Furqan and Surah Al-Isra. وَقَالُوا لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى تُفَجِّرَ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ يُنْبُوعًا. We will not believe in you until you make a fountain, spread out from the earth, and until you ascend in the heaven, and then you grab a book, and you grab the book, and you bring it to us, and then you have a garden with angels supporting you. Yani, they want to make a list of requirements and demands for them to believe in the Messenger of Allah. Some crazy stuff. You need to do this and that, and angels need to support you. Have to have a garden and a castle, and why don't you have this, and why don't you have that? When you bring all this, we will believe in you. This is nonsense. These are people who don't want to believe. So they come up with these things too, because they know that they will not be met. So then they justify kufr for themselves. Aywa. So the Shaykh said, كقولهم سبحان الله وقالوا لن نؤمن لك حتى تفجر لنا من الأرض ينبوع أو تكون لك جنة من نخيل جنة من نخيل وعنب فتفجر الأنهار خلالها تفجيرا. You also should have a garden of palm trees and grapes, and you make the rivers gush out and flow in them. أو تسقط السماء كما زعمت علينا كسفا أو تأتي بالله والملائكة قبيلا. Among the recommendations of the kuffar were is that you also make the sky fall upon us as you promised, or you, why don't you bring this Allah of yours and the angels in front of us? We want to see them in front of our eyes. That's what they were saying to the Prophet ﷺ. We will only believe when you bring Allah and you let us see Allah with our own eyes, then we will believe in Allah. And we will believe that you're the messenger of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ludicrous. Al-Ayat. قل مجيبا لقولهم إن الله قادر على أن ينزل آية. Say, Allah said in the Prophet ﷺ, what to respond to these people? First, the first response is to affirm the ability of Allah and the greatness of Allah. Is Allah able to do all this or not? For sure. If Allah willed, He would have done all of this for the Prophet ﷺ, so that they have no excuse. قل إن الله قادر على أن ينزل آية. Allah is able to send down a sign. فليس في قدرته قصور عن ذلك. There is no deficiency in Allah's ability. كيف وجميع الأشياء منقادة لعزته مدعنة لسلطانه. How could there be any deficiency when everything is at His command and obeying Him and subdued by Him? ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون فهم لجهلهم وعدم علمهم يطلبون ما هو شر لهم من الآيات. But most people don't know. And because of their evil and their ignorance, they ask of signs which is actually evil for them. التي لو جاءتهم فلم يؤمنوا بها لعوجوا بالعقاب. If it were to come to them and they would not believe in it, the punishment will be hastened for them. كما هي سنة الله, as it is the way of Allah with the people. التي لا تبديل لها وما عاد فإن كان قصدهم الآيات التي تبين لهم الحق وتوضح السبيل فقد أتى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بكل آية قاطعة وحجة ساطعة دالة على ما جاء به من الحق. So the Shaykh said, however, had they really been seeking the truth, if they were really looking for the truth by these requests of theirs, then verily the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has brought every type of indisputable evidence and solid proof that what he has brought is the truth from Allah. بحيث يتمكن العبد في كل مسألة من مسائل الدين أن يجد فيها ما جاء به عدة أدلة عقلية ونقلية. That's why we as Muslims find in every aspect, in every matter of the matters of our religion, we will find something from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, evidences that are both intellectual and textual. Intellectual and textual, meaning textual hadith, the wording of the hadith, which is in agreement with the intellect. And so many things from the Prophet ﷺ that if we were to look at today, you will find that they are, you know, ultimate wisdom when it comes to the, you know, dealing with the women, for example. So the Prophet ﷺ said that the women were you know, created from a crooked or bent rib. Huh? If you try to strain it, you will break it. And if you, obviously you leave it alone, then you will have to deal with the crookedness. So khalas. Huh? If you just evaluate this hadith, and every husband applies this with his wife, he will save himself a lot of headache. Because sometimes you feel like you're talking to a wall. Right? Like, hey, hello, anybody there? But then like, oh wait. Yeah. Alright. So, cocktail it is, huh? Are you kids having fun in the back? Alhamdulillah. Khalas! Because it's a woman! And it's going there! There's no hope! Now you keep trying to break it, you break it! You could insist that she understands the way you want to understand, and it will break! Or you can accept it as is, and life goes on. So, this hadith, I mean, it's a sentence. But this can solve hundreds of thousands of marital, domestic problems that Muslims and non-Muslims have today. True or not? There you go. So that tells you that he gave us everything, alayhi salam, that we need, but we don't apply the sunnah. That's our problem. The Shaykh said, بحيث لا تبقى في القلوب أدنى شك وارتياب. So that there will be no room in the heart, not even for the slightest type of doubt in this. فتبارك الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق. So blessed is he who has sent his messenger with the guidance and the religion of truth. وأيده بالآيات البينات. And he supported them with the strong, powerful evidence. لِيَهْلَكَ مَنْ هَلَكَ عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ. So the one who is to be destroyed will be destroyed upon clarity, upon proof. وَيَحْيَ مَنْ حَيَّ عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ. And one who will be granted life because of this will do so based on evidence. He knows why. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَسَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. And verily Allah Azza wa Jal is the all-hearing, all-knowing. So the last ayah we will address today, inshallah. Oh no, wait a second. That's ayah 38. No, we will leave that, inshallah ta'ala, till next week. بإذن الله عز وجل, if you all remain alive and healthy. هذا والله أعلم, وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.